You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
At the end of May, the Musqueam First Nation held a demonstration blocking the Arthur Lang Bridge to Vancouver's airport. This action had followed several others in protest of a condo development that would be located on top of Cessnam. Cessnam, also known as the Marpole Midden, is a village and burial ground of ancestry to the Musqueam First Nation, dating back 4,000 years. Condo construction has already disrupted the intact grave sites of several bodies. Musqueam community members and supporters have been camping out at the site for the past 38 days. Cecilia Point is a Musqueam community spokesperson, and she joins me by phone. Good morning, Cecilia, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm very appreciative you want to bring this issue to the forefront here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the air with us. The ancient community of Cessnam, mm-hmm. What do the Musqueam Nation and archaeologists know about that village?
Well, it's many layers of our history. So I do know that the bodies that they unearthed this year are more current. I know you mentioned 4,000 years old, so they're certainly not 4,000 years old. They might be last century, 1800s. So for us, I mean, it's been in our oral history. My great-grandfather lived to be 100, so he was a young man at the turn of the century between 1800 and 1900. And always told me stories about the place and about our history in the area, you know, the winter village, the summer village, and moving around and so on. So we do have some fascinating history, but it is, you know, it is our family. So to me, that's the most important thing about it, is that it's family, it's ancestral remains. I mean, given there are really fascinating artifacts, as you mentioned, going back thousands of years, so that is why it was declared a National Historic Site, mostly because of the items that they found there. But to me, it's more about family.
And was this one of the principal Musqueam villages throughout history?
Oh, absolutely. And because it was sort of on the front lines, for example, you know, they would be the first ones to defend the nation, you know, if invaders or warring tribes were come in. And I believe that's why they were the first to contract smallpox. And that wiped out, you know, hundreds of people, as you know. So.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's a fascinating history for the rest of the community here, let alone the incredible history for the Musqueam Nation itself.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Musqueam community become informed that all of this was going to happen with the condo development?
Well, we were hardly informed. It was quite by accident. You know, the developers had been proposing development on this site for over a year, actually. And so Musqueam kept objecting and trying to get someone to give us more information, et cetera, because there is a protocol to follow. But there was an archaeologist who was working on another site for us, who was driving by and noticed that there was development happening. And when they started talking to us, which was in March of this year, they let us know that they had uncovered an intact remain in January. So, I mean, when you uncover a remain, you're supposed to let the nation know immediately. And so it started off very badly. And when we learned that, that's when our community went down and actually physically blockaded the site. And that was in March, I believe, March 13th.
And what has the community been asking for since all this came to light?
Well, we want to protect the site, and at that time we blockaded the site, and so everyone came to the negotiating table, and we agreed to a 3-week cooling off period. But after 5 weeks went by, the province still hadn't come forward, in response to anything we'd put on the table. So the developer went back to work, and when he went back digging, they uncovered two infants, in fact, two and a partial. And now we're learning that they actually uncovered two adults and two infants. So, like, the information is still just kind of trickling in. But at that stage, we went and made a large presence. We had a march on Granville Street from about 70th down to the site, about 100 or so people. We had representatives from from a number of nations, and just even the Marpole community stood with us at that time. So we've occupied the site since then, since May 3rd.
And how has the developer Century Holdings responded to the community's demands?
Well, in fact, he just wrote an open letter to the province, to the premier and the mayor, just this last week, and actually it's the week before, because last Friday, not yesterday, but the Friday before, the Vancouver Courier reported on that, and he's very angry, of course, but luckily he's focusing most of that anger at the politicians, not at us, because, you know, he's saying, look, you know, I followed the rules, etc., and you're leaving me high and dry. So he's kind of in a position that we are. I don't know how he personally feels about us, but I guess he's, you know, he's frustrated too, and he's obviously not going back to work while we're there. So we offered another site, you know, we offered a land swap with the province and the city. It's kind of a three-way land swap. So the city has come up with three alternative sites where this developer can go to, but the province is still the last one to sign off on it. So, and the city and the province are kind of pointing fingers at each other as well. So, you know, I think each one of them doesn't want to get blamed, right? So,
well, how would the different roles of the different levels of government play out? I understand it's also a federally recognized Canadian heritage site, which often, like when I hear the term Canadian heritage site, I assume there's some kind of protection offered.
Well, exactly, and there isn't, and the federal government has been very hands-off, and I always mention to people, I don't know the name of the site, but there is a heritage Viking site in Gros Morne National Park in Newfoundland. And you're not allowed to pick up a rock there. It's like protected like the Parthenon. So the only argument that we sort of getting back from all levels of government is that this is private property, so it doesn't get the same protection. And the type of, I'm using air quotes, protection that they've used for this general area is they haven't, up until now, really allowed digging. They haven't really allowed that level of desecration. There's a number of buildings there, and it's a real ugly sort of mess of a city block, but they all sit on a concrete slab, so there hasn't been unearthing, like, since the discovery of this site and the bodies. I mean, a lot of bodies, don't get me wrong, were treated horribly at the beginning, and a lot of bodies were even sent, like, to museums around the world, and some were even thrown in the garbage. Like, it was disgusting. So that happened in the early 1900s, but after that, they sort of capped the site, and no one has been allowed to dig there. So I'm not really sure how this guy got his digging permits, you know, because there's other businesses that have come and told us. There's a budget rent-a-car place a few doors down, and he said he was told when he moved in there they weren't allowed to dig a structure, so he had to drag, like, a mobile office. The guy from the Fraser Arms Hotel wanted to put a post in the ground to put up a sign for a liquor store, and he was told by the city that he wasn't allowed to dig there. So, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, this developer has lots of money, obviously. He's represented by Jeff Plante, the former Attorney General under Gordon Campbell. So, I mean, I'm just guessing that there's, you know, stuff being moved behind the scenes that we don't know about, right? So,
and so it would be the province that issues the digging permits.
Yeah, it was the province that issued these archaeological digging permits. Now, just yesterday is breaking news that the province has rescinded that permit on just one lot. The developer is in possession of six lots, and they're numbered 4 through 9. And on lot 9, where they uncovered the infants, they are going to now return them to the ground and put that lot back to the way it was. But not the entire lot. Like, they're still just giving us kind of half measures. So they're just talking about addressing about half of that lot, but they still haven't rescinded development on the other remaining lots. So they put out this very confusing press release yesterday that looked like, you know, oh, yay, they rescinded all the permits and all is well. But that's that's not the case. So in case anyone's asking about that, you know, it's a small step in the right direction, but they still haven't come back to, and this would again be a provincial matter, they still haven't come back to accept our land swap to move the developer right off the property over to somewhere else.
And in your view, why isn't that taken up as a reasonable offer from the Musqueam, and why aren't there guarantees from government across the board for the protection of the site?
I really don't know. I mean, the Heritage Conservation Act of BC seems to protect, you know, 100-year-old buildings. I mean, it really just protects post-colonial stuff. So it's never addressed First Nations issues, and I really don't know why. I mean, in Ontario, there was a good case where the province of Ontario did. I'm sure you're familiar with the standoff at New Caledonia, and the province did end up purchasing that property back from the landowner and protecting that site. So for British Columbia, I believe it would be precedent-setting for them to do that.
Precedent setting because there's no treaties to kind of offer
exactly.
A precedent. And so from this point, what do you think will be the next steps the Musqueam community has to take?
Well, I do think since we took the bridge last week, as you mentioned at the beginning, I know that phones are ringing now. You know, that really did get things going. As I said, they addressed this permit yesterday for the archaeological remains. And now they are truly looking at our land swap, because I really think they were just shoving this, you know, somewhere. All we had up until that point was a facilitator. They sent us a facilitator who is, you know, not to demean the facilitator, but he's no one. I mean, he doesn't have the power to act on the behalf of government. He just came and he kept, you know, getting information. And in fact, he pulled out on Wednesday, and that's why, that's another of many reasons, but that was kind of the last straw as to why we took to the bridge on Thursday, because he was the only person talking to us. And I'm telling you, when we were on that bridge is when Mary Pollock, the Aboriginal Relations Minister, that's the first time I saw her in front of a media scrum saying, oh, of course someone from my office is dealing with it. Because no one from her office was dealing with it until that moment, I can tell you that. So, you know, I feel positive that, you know, I apologize to commuters that we had to take this drastic measure, but I feel positive that it worked, you know.
Well, I'm glad things are moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And how can people at this point support the community?
I would say they could continue to come down and sign our petition. You know, if they're local, if they're in the area. If they are not in the area, I encourage them to continue to write to government, to write to the City of Vancouver, to write to the province, the Minister of Aboriginal Relations, and even the Premier, and just keep, you know, keep pounding at them, you know, to resolve this issue, to return the land to us, to protect Aboriginal, you know, historic sites, and really all Aboriginal burial grounds, because that's the other thing that's happened. I mean, since we've been there, so many people from other nations have come and told us about the horrible desecration of their burials. I mean, Kitimat, they just flooded out coffins down the river. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many stories like that. So we really want that to stop.
Well, I hope it does, and thank you so much for joining us this morning, Cecilia.
Okay, and thank you for taking an interest. Like I said, we really want this, you know, story to stay in the public's attention, so I really appreciate this.
Great. Best of luck.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have been speaking with Cecilia Point. Cecilia is a community spokesperson for the Musqueam First Nation. If you'd like more information or updates on their campaign and ways to support the campaign, you can visit their Facebook site, which we have linked off our website, which is cooperadio.org/redeye.